Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Ladies and welcome to another episode of
Tonight on No More BS with Mike and Sean, we will hear a replay of the Shut Them Down rally last week. We will also hear our previous conversation with Advocate Yvonne Nova Smith, who talks about transiting from an orphanage to the community. We will also hear about a new bill that would close the remaining DD institutions in Washington State, and we will have a spotlight conversation with Advocate Robert Wardell. Please join us tonight. Hello, everyone, and welcome to No More BS. I'm Sean Latham. Michael Rogers is off tonight. As you heard, tonight's show is a combination of new interviews and some things we played before. Our main topic will be dealing with what the Shut Them Down Coalition is up to at the moment. But first, let's kick off the show as promised with some sports and movie news. The FC and NFC championships were played last Sunday, and the victors of those games were the LA Rams, who haven't won the Super Bowl since 2000, when they were called the St. Louis Rams. Kurt Warner was their quarterback back then, and they were called the greatest show on turf. This year they were 12-5, and for the first time in history they are the home team for both the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. Will this give them a huge advantage? We will see next weekend. Their opponents are the Cincinnati Bengals of all teams. They haven't been in a Super Bowl since 1988, and they have also never won a Super Bowl. Cincinnati Bengals come into the Super Bowl with a record of 10-7, but huge playoff upsets against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans. Will the underdogs strike again? We shall see soon. In my opinion, though, this is the Rams' year to take the whole thing. In other sports news, this Thursday is the start of the Winter Olympics in China. This year, the question will not only be who will win the gold, but also who will get COVID and be out of the competition. I sincerely hope most athletes will stay healthy, so I can watch my favorite events of the downhill, the luge, figure skating, and speed skating. In movie news, we are getting pretty close to one of my 2022 movies I want to see, which is The Batman, starring Robert Pattinson. I hope Robert is as good as the other Batman of the past. Also coming this year, Doctor Strange 2, The Multiverse of Madness, and Top Gun Maverick, a long-awaited sequel to the excellent 80s classic. I still play music from its soundtrack a lot. And that is today's entertainment news. Now it's my pleasure to introduce a great friend of mine and fellow advocate, Robert Wardell, who tonight will share his story. Welcome, Robert, to the show. How are you tonight?
Hey, Robert.
Hi, Tom.
How are you tonight?
Good.
Alright. How are you? Well, glad I'm right there. So let's begin here.
First question, Robert. Can you talk a little about your childhood and what that was like?
My childhood was not a good one because my stepmom didn't know about persons with disabilities. She was given a, he told me that he, the institution was a good place for me to live. And she didn't know how to raise a child with a disability.
I love them.
Now, if I remember right, you were put into a near right when you were younger.
Yes, yes, you're right, John. You're right.
Can you talk about what it was like to live in an institution like Rainier?
You had to follow the destination slip every morning, every night. You had to eat all of the park when the park came with food. You cannot order anything on the park, off the park, if you was doing a cooking program.
Oh, wow. But you had no freedom.
Right, you didn't have no freedom.
Did you have any friends? Any independent?
There was a lot of good self-advocates, but then there wasn't any... All my friends that are outside of Rainier, I had.
Outside of Rainier. Did any of your family visit you? When you were in there?
Not that much. My mom would, but she had to get up extra early to come and visit me at Rainier.
Yeah. As you said earlier, that we did not know too much about a developmental disability. So, that's why we need more. We need more help for families.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do.
So let's talk about...
How did you get out of Rainier?
I got out of Rainier in 1988. There was people to stay in until I died.
Oh, they wanted you to stay in until you died?
Mm-hmm.
So...
I got out by a good friend of mine, Donna J. Lowry, got me out of the Rainier. And, she dropped me out of it, and a lot of other people told me, get out.
And Donna works for People for the Wobbly for a long time.
That's right.
Yeah. So how long were you in the institution?
From 84, 85, 86, 87, 85 and a half years. I went in there as a little boy. The visit is not, you couldn't eat. You had to eat off the cart, meaning you had some kind of special tray if you had any special tray or if you had any other thing.
Yeah. And how long did it take you to get out of the institution? How do you decide if you want to know?
What are you asking, Don?
Oh, and then, how long did it take you and Don and Larry to get you out of the institution?
He got me out and after I graduated from high school. And then he said, do you want to leave? I said, yes. But there were people, they stay in there.
Yeah, that was bad. So what was it?
What was it like to transition to the community?
From living from Rainier to community, it was good. I had that once in a while, and then I had different variety of people coming in and checking on me, and that's about it.
And you moved to Tacoma, right?
Yes.
So do you like living in Tacoma?
It was nice.
Okay.
What are some of the things you like to do in the community?
Like going bowling, advocating for people with disabilities, and working on a large, working with Ivan Oversmith on some bills on people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And other self advocates.
You have been held to self advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you are one of the first sale members I met when I moved over there.
Yes.
How long have you been involved in sale?
Pretty long time. I try to help as best I can. I try to sell. I have people that I'm still trying to work on getting either March or April or whenever that is over with to get Bob Ferguson coming in, who will talk about the bill that he came up with that was on the last year's deal.
Bob Ferguson?
Yeah, he works for, he's again the lieutenant governor.
Do you feel like you have more freedom to do what you want now that you live in the community rather than an institution?
Yeah. In the community, you go shopping. In an institution, you have to follow the designation slip. In the community-wise, you can do a lot more.
Yeah, that is true. And there are a lot more activities to do. Like you said, going bowling. Well, I bet there are a lot of activities you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like going bowling and stuff. Are you involved in the Special Olympics?
Yeah.
Robert, can you tell us more about yourself, what your interests are, and things about you that make you unique?
Well, I like to bowl. go swimming, hiking, camping, fishing. Playing ping pong, watching good movies, going to movies, watch movies, and get involved in watching football games.
Even though I
watch the Super Bowl, but even though the other team didn't get in there, that's fine.
Yeah. So I realize you're rooting for the Super Bowl.
I think this Cincinnati Bengals can do it over the Los Angeles Rams. Used to be St. Louis Rams. The Los Angeles Rams.
I know they can't be painted at me. Yeah. I think back in the 90s, they were the LA Rams, and they moved to St. Louis, they moved back to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And you also talk about movies. What kind of movie do you like?
Ghostbusters. Back to the Future, Burt Reynolds when he Burt Reynolds was in Dolly Parton and Smokin' the Bandit, yeah.
That's the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I would say I love the Back to the Future movie. I watch them a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's great.
Now we are going to move into advocacy. How did you get into advocacy?
How did you involve myself advocacy? At first, I didn't know at all about it until Diane talked to me about it and Chris Jill talked me into it. I didn't know nothing about self-advocacy movement.
Do you remember the first thing you advocated for?
A minimum wage as one, and the RSC, the where people with disabilities can get out of the program, out of Rainier, getting the program, and other stuff.
Yeah, that's something we all advocate for. Yeah. And you also advocate for transportation, right?
Can you talk about the advocacy groups you are currently involved with?
Simplism, People First, and those two. I used to be involved in self-advocate leadership, People First, and then Arkansas had a group, but it went nowhere.
And by South Africa, I loved it. Yeah. And so a lot of time in the thing we're doing people first.
Yeah.
Robert, you have been an advocacy leader in a lot of groups. What is it like to be a leader?
Well, I'm learning, you know, I'm trying to teach other South Africans to come along so they can get their feet wet. And I can, one day we'll ask more.
So you want to train new advocates now.
Right. I used to be on BCQ steering committee and the Rainbow Festival when it was here in Tacoma. And then I got involved in the Glad Dance, some other move. I made a lot of good friends throughout the South African movement.
Awesome. And Wally, what is BCQ?
What now?
What is BCQ?
It's a parent coalition group.
Okay.
It has people with disabilities and parents. It's like a South African movement of some sort.
What would you say is so special about SAIL?
South Advocacy Leadership, we keep getting new chairs like Anthony and Tracy of the chairs of SAIL Coalition. They know how to run the meeting.
And Kim Lawson.
Yeah, I have to say, Kim and Ivanova did a good job too. Last time around. We had too many chairs. I haven't been a chair or co-chair of the show.
Oh, well, maybe one day you will be coming in.
And also you are a part of the Shut Them Down Coalition. What made you get involved with this coalition?
Shut Them Down Coalition because I used to live at Rainier. It's like you're putting someone in. You put them back in the institution. Instead of leaving them coming out and living in the community, we want to work. We don't want to be stuck in an institution.
Awesome. We only have a few minutes left, Robert.
Okay, now I see we have a caller on the line. Phone number?
I'm sorry about that. I said the wrong one.
Who's calling you?
That's my mistake. I said the wrong one.
Okay.
Do you have any final words for us?
I think if we work together and tell the legislators to work we get the legislators to hear what we have to say about certain institutions, that'd be nice. But if I, by 2028 or later, an institution will be maybe shut down, or we don't know yet.
I'm about to read the article you and me wrote 2 days ago. So, well,
what is it, John?
I just want to thank you, Robert, for joining us today. I hope we can connect more soon. Feel free to stay on the line and listen to the rest of the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say.
All right.
Next up, you're going to hear a series on closing down the institutions. First up is an article that the Shut Them Down Coalition wrote about a bill that will close down the institutions. Then you will hear the audio for the Shut Them Down rally that took place last week as advocates from across the state came to Olympia to demand the closures of the institutions. After that, you will hear from advocates Julie Clark and Ivan Novosmith on their thoughts about institutions. Mike and I interviewed Ivan Nova a few months ago. Since all of those are recorded and will play to the end of the show, I will sign off the live portion of the show right now. Until next time, everyone, shut out.
Well, there we go.
We are now going to turn to an article written by the Shut Them Down Coalition on a new Senate bill that would close the remaining residential rehabilitation centers in our state. The title of this article by the Shut Them Down is called the following, SB 5938 is a giant step to close Washington State's DD institutions. The article states, in the past few weeks, the Shut Them Down Coalition with assistance from the North Star Coalition has worked with Senator John Braun to draft up SB 5938. This bill, if passed, would close all 4 residential rehabilitation centers, or DD institutions, by 2028. The bill sets up a timeline to achieve that goal by first giving our state and DD advocates 18 months to create a person-centered transition plan. During these months, advocates like Robert Wardell and Sean Latham want to see state services and state housing opportunities be expanded. Robert Wardell, a former resident at Rainier School, states he likes this bill because it is time to close the institutions and allow people to live in their local community. Robert adds that the state needs to increase community funding for various services so that all people with intellectual and developmental disabilities can have a safe place to live wherever they choose. In addition, if state funds were used to support the community more instead of keeping up large, segregated settings, Robert believes we could improve local transportation systems and expand employment and recreational services. Sean commented that while some believe our state is not up for this change, he and other self-advocates believe if not now, when? While Sean does agree that the state will have to budget in more funds for these and other community services, he believes the state needs to act now instead of always pushing this change off in the future. Robert and Sean are not alone in calling for the end to DD institutions, because hundreds of self-advocates from the organizations of self-advocates in leadership, People First of Washington, and Allies in Advocacy have said enough. This coalition has argued for well over a decade that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities deserve their freedom and their civil rights. They believe all people need to be afforded the right to receive medical-level care in their local community. They should not be told to receive some services. They must move hundreds of miles from their family and into congregate settings, which, as we have seen with the COVID-19 pandemic, can be dangerous. As it was mentioned, SB 5938 gives 18 months for our state to come up with a person-centered transition plan. After the plan is created, the state will transition at least 20% of the residents at each DD institution into the community each year starting in 2025. According to the timeline in the bill, all residents will be out by December 31, 2028. The institutions at this time can be closed and sold off. The proceeds of the sale will go to the Dan Thompson Trust Fund. While we, the self-advocate community, are very excited about SB 5938, we are also concerned that the bill will die in committee, as so many bills will do this week. Advocates are asked to immediately contact Senators Cleveland and Frocht, who are the chair and vice chair of the Senate Health and Long-Term Care Committee. Advocates need to get an emergency hearing for SB 5938. So we can get it out of committee before it's too late. We urge you to use your voice before the committee cutoff date of February 3rd. We also ask legislators who are reading this to please help us get a hearing for this bill.
And now the article. From no advocate. From no advocate. Thank you. No. And now the article that me and Robin were helping with. So, what did you think of the article, Robin?
Good.
That's good. And now you're going to hear several people from the rally last week. And about, So this next one is about 27 minutes long. And it's a highlight. Excuse me. It's a highlight from the rally of last winter. Enjoy.
We are asking our legislators to shut down the state residential road bothers because there's been a massive amount of abuse, isolation, segregation, restraint, and harm, and sexual abuse, and control that has hurt people with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
What do we want?
I lived in Washington in the first 5 years of my life, not here in Washington, but a different country, and it was not a childhood. Those first 5 years of my life, I didn't know what a life was. I didn't know what my own name was. I could not speak. I did not even get to have a birthday. I didn't get to be with a family or have a family. So many people are isolated, especially now with COVID. People are being kept from their community, kept from their family, being isolated, segregated, and restrained. I was chemically restrained. I was given many pills to keep me sedated when I lived in that institution. And that is what happens to many of the people who live at the institution. And they are restrained in different ways. We feel, we self-advocates feel that we deserve a life in the community. If I had stayed in that institution, I would never have been able to grow and get an education. I would never have been able to meet my husband and have my children. But I get to be with the friends that I have, and I get to be with people in my community and do activities in the community and have a life in the community. I get to do things that you would not get to do in an institution. And I feel all people, no matter their support needs, to get to live in the community free. So that was great. Not isolation and segregation. We all deserve to live integrated and together, not away from each other, not hidden away. We don't deserve to be hidden away. We are people, we are human beings, like anyone else. And it shouldn't matter what your support needs are.
No, no, no.
We don't need it in an institution. We need it in the community. And so we want to shut them down. And we are free.
Shut them down. Shut them down.
Actually, fill her right now.
Okay.
She's right here.
Hello, you guys. I'm calling your wife.
She has the co-chair with me at the committee for the art.
Oh, hi. Okay. Oh, nice to meet you.
Hey,
I got your email.
Hello, you guys. I'm calling you.
We're just using this for the base of the computer. That's the speaker and everything. I don't see no wires to hook this up.
What are we here for, Uncle Mike?
Right here?
Yeah.
What do we want? Shut him down!
Yeah.
I was getting to stay school for 20 years. That's why I want him to shut him down!
Hey.
How'd you get out?
Hey.
My sister, Lonnie, told me one time, she asked me, what do you want? I told Lonnie, get me out, and she did, and I want to say this, what do we want?
Go ahead.
Thank you. They treat me just like an animal.
Like an animal.
You want other people to get out of it, right?
But
so that they can have the freedom that you have, right?
What? What do we want?
Shut them down. People want to know why. Why you want to get out of that. Why you got out.
Why I wanted to get out? People in the...
Find your freedom.
Anyhow, the reason why I wanted to get out, I saw bad stuff in that place. So what do we want? What do we want?
Shut it down.
Close it down and shut it down. Thank you.
Sorry that happened to you, too. We are. We know the story.
Also, what else I would like to say, shut them down.
Shut them down.
We have the hot mic.
Really?
Somebody.
You know.
There's something wrong with the microphone.
Are you like that?
Hold on. You know.
Hold on.
a person of a disability, as a person in these places, what's the point of having them open when all you do is go in there to take medicine, and then you have to get pulled back out because the lawyers are that entire thing is all about the money. I mean, I was in Fairfax. I didn't enjoy nothing. Those people are all a bunch of drug addicts. All a bunch of... There's so many different negative things about them. I had to be pulled out because of... Jeez, my balance. I had to be pulled out. And it took a lawyer to do that. And then because of those things, I do not like institutions, whether they're for arts or mental institutions, because I despise them. I hate them. They're not fun. I don't care what anybody else says. And I would like to see them, these facilities, closed once and for all. In the
thank you. Yes.
What do you want? Shut it down. What do you want?
Shut it down.
Of one, I've been mistreated, been discriminated, been devalued, and what are for, so they can have a paycheck. We deserve to live in our own community, in our own independent home, make families.
Amen.
We deserve to have a life in this
community,
and we need to show them that we can stand on our own 2 feet. Be independent, and what was that, Mike?
Shut them down.
What do we want?
Shut them down.
Thank you.
This is such a group of fighters. I don't even know what they're fighting for. They're not telling you the horror stories behind the shut them down, but these are some really strong, fabulous individuals that deserve every right that they get, but they have to fight for them. We all have to fight.
That is all
we're together, one community.
All right, we're going to hear from our closing speaker, Robert Waddell, on his experience in one of the audience.
Give me a hold your pop, Robert. It doesn't matter.
What do we want?
Right now!
What do we want?
Right now!
So,
you know, that's
all
right, Robert.
Let's do it.
It's right.
They're isolate you, and I see one guy who got his they take a towel and they use it against your whole body, and I gotta say, let's close these institutions so that people can live and work and be a taxpayer. Thank you. Shut them down.
Shut them down.
What do we want?
Shut them down.
What do we want?
I want to get out of here. anyone else, real quickly, like, if you listen to Mr. Keith and you've not had a chance to speak, but
you're going to do it again. Thank you,
Mel. Go ahead.
Okay. So, my name is Leia Beth Elsie, and when I was 13 years old, I was riding a horse, and I got hit by a drunk driver. My horse nugget died. I was in a coma for 3.5 months. I want to say 3.5 years. That's not right. 3.5 months, which was not good. But I was in a hospital for a year and a nursing home at Real Life Nursing Home for another year at the age of 14. Wasn't fun. I was humiliated, if that's the word. And, yeah, it was disgusting. And you have a bedtime, a wake-up time, and that was not regular, if you couldn't do it yourself. But, turn that around. I was raised in foster homes, so they couldn't find a foster family for me because I had too many issues. Nobody wanted me because I was a piece of garbage. But what's really super cool, oh, this is the coolest part. I found God, and I know I'm not garbage anymore, but what's really cool, I own my own house. It's a Habitat house. I have two beautiful kids that I raised by myself. And all the guys are my teachers. They're my teachers at the art, Cole and Kimberly. And we have many teachers, but there are two of them. And we came in Kimberly's car. She's a driver. And she's awesome. And anyway, I learned so much about our art. Our art is amazing in Bremerton, Washington. We have a dance every Friday, activities all the time, except for not so much. And because Cole changed it all. But that's okay. We still love him. And we lost our best friend Saturday. His name was Demoris White, and we don't have him anymore. So, yeah, but the art is
amazing.
Yeah, we got to shut him down. We need...
What do we want?
We can own a house.
Shut him down. What do we want?
Yeah.
Shut him down.
Good job.
Thank you, everyone, for coming to our rally. And please support Bill 5938 to shut down the institution.
Awesome.
Contact your legislators and ask them to be a co-sponsor.
What's our other bill? Nothing without it.
Oh, so there's another bill. It's called 1802, and it's called the Nothing About Us Without Us bill. This bill will help us because it will allow for people with disabilities to be on task force work groups and committees that affect policy around our services and our lives. For the longest time, historically, people with disabilities in general have not been allowed at the table. We've had professionals being allowed at the table, parents being allowed at the table, other caregivers, but people with lived experience have always been excluded. And so what this bill is asking is that we extend the table, we add more chairs, so that the people with lived experience of these policies will expect to get to sit at the table and help be part of the change in those policies and making sure that the policies that affect our services, our way of life, will not harm us, but help us. Because without our voice, many policies have been made, like building the institution, that have hurt us.
Really?
And so...
Again.
Yeah.
Shut them
down! And we want to be part of the work groups and the committees and the building that community housing, building those community supports in the process while we work on getting institutions closed. And we will work with the legislature, I will work with Senator Frost, and we will get these places closed. Shut them down!
Right here, it's barbed. You got it down. Otherwise,
you do work.
I would ask any legislator that supports these institutions to go stay in one for a month.
Yes.
Go stay in one for a month.
What I like to do.
Go stay in
Spokane.
Like
it's right.
Go stay in
them. They need to walk a mile in our shoes.
Stay in them. If you think these support institutions are so good, go stay in one yourself.
I like to see these legislators. I like to see these legislators.
I want my tax dollars to go to residential community support.
What do we want?
I don't want my tax dollars going to the institutions.
Love the sign.
Shut up.
Good job. Your video is live here. Thank you.
Institutions. We want justice.
So I understand.
What do we want?
I don't know.
Our organization has one. It's an owl. It does like a 360.
I'm not trying to
do it.
Great job, one and all from Olympia. Good job. Good job. Yeah. Done it down. Especially if you.
And now it's on a highlight from the hours.
I like it.
Lastly. And yeah, Robin, you're one of the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the hours?
Good. I'm surprised that legislators wasn't even there.
I know.
The bomb was hiding.
I know. We need to find them and we need to find them and have them listen to the rally thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the world, everybody made them live twice. About holding them, holding them down. So that's good. Okay, then. And again, Robert, if you need to go in here, you don't have to stay on the whole time. Unless you want to. But Nick.
Hmm?
Yes, I'm going to play the audio of the new report.
Okay.
Oh, no. Hold on, you guys. I've met the lot area. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
My name is Julie Clark, and I am using my Toby Dynavox speech device to share my message about why I feel no one needs to live in an institutional setting. These are my own words, and my speech device will help me get them out clearly. Cerebral palsy is my disability. I am 54 years old, and I live in Lacey. I was in Western State Hospital for 3 months in 2001. COQA is a residential provider, and they got me out of the hospital in September of that year and put me into my apartment with day and evening caregivers. I was in independent living. In independent living, my caregivers did cook and clean. I was able to come and go as I pleased. My transportation was using public transportation. Being independent was especially important to me because I could set my schedule. I chose how to run my life. I worked for the Department of Health and Human Services as a secretary for 17 years before I retired in 2018. Working was essential to me because I was involved, contributing to my community. I was an important member of that organization for many years. The United Churches of Olympia is my church, and I have been going there for over 25 years. I am an active member of my church. The church is important to me. As I aged, I could not take care of myself. I needed to have 24-hour care. So, COQA placed me in a shared home that COQA runs. I had a roommate who was yelling all the time. My roommate would assault the caregivers. Being in the shared home was not safe for me. In November 2019, I moved to an apartment in Lacey with COQA's help. I get 24-hour care. A nurse comes to check up on me because my hair is high. I have a feeding tube, vest shift compression machine, and higher lift. My caregivers go everywhere I go. It is nice to be living on my own again. I was in and out of the hospital with pneumonia for the last 6 months of 2019. Shelley is a nurse that COQA hired. She has taught me how to breathe better. I have not been to the hospital with Shelley's help since January 2020. I am in community inclusion, a part of a supported employment program that allows me to continue to be active in my community now that I am retired. It is so essential for me to be involved in the community. I do a lot of advocacy and volunteer work. When I was in an institution, I could not do what I can do in the community. I am pleased to be in the community to set my schedule and be involved in whatever activities I choose. I have all the freedom that my health will allow, and I am grateful to be an active part of my community. A group of self-advocates was formed known as the Shut Them Down Coalition, and I am a member of this group. This group wants to close all the residential rehabilitation centers, RHCs, to allow all of these individuals to be active members of their community. I strongly believe that all disabled people should live in the community and that nobody should live in an RHC. Will you sign a petition to shut them down?
Yeah. Was it yes? Yeah.
That was really hard for Rosie. We have one Dino video for all of you tonight. And that's a repeat of Mike and my interview with Ivan Nova. When they find that, we all play that. Okay, here we go. Hi, Benova.
Hi, Benova.
How are you tonight?
Hi, everyone.
How are you?
I'm Benova Smith here. How are you all doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm well. I'm honored to be here. Shut them down. Shut them down. I really like what you said, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I can't quite figure it out.
I don't care.
Like, we have a thousand people, and we can't figure out how to close one of them. I mean, give me a break. And I would love your thoughts about that. And I confess, I work for the state, but I can't figure it out. Like, we can't figure out how to help people have a better life. Okay, look at the mission statement. Empower people to have a better life. How do you do that if you're in an RHC? You can't.
Okay, can we talk about this BS thing that says, oh, well, we can't provide people housing, but we can put you in an institution? How does that make sense? You can put people in these institutions, but you can't give people a home?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't really expect...
That makes no sense.
So it's like, I'm going to go steal an apple so I get some food today, and then I go to prison, and then you'll feed me. That doesn't make sense either. I mean, we got to do better.
We have to do better.
Everybody deserves food and deserves shelter, but it's not to be locked up in a place where they don't want to be.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I've never really said it this way before. Yeah. But and I'm talking about Washington State only, and for the rest of the callers, that's where we're from, that's where I'm from, and that's where the guest is from as well. We have 1,000 people, and we have 4 institutions in the state of Washington.
Yeah, so Washington State plans to be progressive. When it comes to institutions, we're very regressive. We have 4 institutions, and we have over 600 actually, living in these places.
Well, the number as of this afternoon was 1,000 folks.
There's 1,000? Whoa, so the number has increased then. Oh, my goodness, that's terrifying.
I mean, you know.
The numbers have...
So, if you're better at math than I am, so...
That's terrible. That means the numbers have increased since.
Roughly about 250 per RHC, right? We have 4 of them, so roughly...
Wait, Michael. How did you know how I went from 500 up to 1,000.
I haven't asked recently, but when I looked at the last time it was 1,000, so roughly it would be 250 in each one if I did my math right.
If there's four
of them in the state, that's true. I know that's a big factor. And I'm saying 250, 500. So, and you have four of them. So that's why I'm breaking it down that way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, the before COVID, the number was like in the seven, just like right under the 700, the amount of people. So that means that COVID means that
I'll check on it next time before we come on, and I'll let you know what the number is.
That's too many people. No matter what, it's too many people. It should be zero people.
Amen.
These places are terrible. They try to act like these places are fine. No, these places are terrible. I mean, I've actually went to veneer school for an employment fair, and oh man, they had it in a chapel. So apparently veneer school had a chapel, guys. They have a chapel.
Wow.
And they had all of the resources there crammed in this little chapel. There was no bathroom. Good thing I didn't need to go to a bathroom. We didn't go anywhere outside of the chapel. And it was really strict. They didn't allow candy. Nobody at the resource center was allowed to have candy. And when we met with the residents, the way that they treated the residents, oh man, it infuriated me. Like, they were treating them like shit. This is BS, right? So, excuse my language, that's an appropriate language. They treated them like cow manure.
I understand. I mean, I know you outside of this, but the people on the radio know that. But what things are you working on now for next legislative session in Washington, or are you doing something different?
So, SAIL has our legislative agenda. We've been working on a lot of different things. We've been working on the deinstitutionalization issue. We're also working on a bill called the Nothing About Us Without Us bill. And this bill would make it so that whenever issues come up that affect the everyday lives of people with disabilities, that people with disabilities has to be at the table. Okay, these decisions can't be made without us being at the table. And not only do we have to be at the table, we have to be able to fully participate. People with disabilities have to be able to fully participate and not be sidelined in.
Because we need the law because it doesn't happen, right?
Yeah. Well, what inspired it was because there was a work group called they literally did not allow our input. They didn't want our input because they knew we would tell them to shut down the institutions.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to hear that. And so they used silencing tactics to say, nope, self-advocates don't get to have a say in this work group. And that's what inspired me to make this bill, to say, nope, you are not allowed to do that.
Good for you. So are you in the process of looking for sponsors?
Yes, so we have some sponsors. We have a primary sponsor, Representative Palette, who we've been really working close with and helps make their bill language.
Cool.
We have support on the Senate side with Senator Randall. We also have support Representative Valdez, Nicole Frame, several other Peterson, some other legislators. We're really excited. We're talking to the Governor Affairs Office. We're getting letting all the governor councils on disabilities and even the non-disability ones, like the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Task Force. We've actually even connected with them about this legislation, and we're actually talking about different ways how we can make this legislation stronger, and we have built a coalition of people and organizations of different disability groups, so we're trying to be very broad in our language around disabilities so that nobody's left out.
Okay. So would you consider ever coming back just to talk about the legislative process?
Oh, yeah, sure. Just a bail. Just an only bail.
Yeah, right. Capitol Hill. Yeah, it's a whole song about it, actually.
Yeah, yeah,
it's great. I can go through it.
It's fun, actually.
I don't know
what.
What? I don't know
what. Yeah, but
it is
a
bill. Not
for
that
bill.
Oh, it is 1566.
1566.
The House Bill.
House Bill 1566,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll keep what I'm bothering you from so the bill number 1566, and now bill number 1802. They had to rename the bill because of money for your father. So the bill number, I don't know what I'm talking about. In 1802.
Okay.
No. Hi, Benova.
Hi, Benova.
Crap. I'm dying out of my head. I'm not bad up. Okay. Give me one second.
What was the bill number?
The bill number is 1802.
302?
No, 1802.
18?
Yes.
1802?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
No matter what, it's too many people. It should be zero people. And they actually even connected with them about this legislation. And we're actually talking about different ways how we can make this legislation stronger. And we have built a coalition of people and organizations of different disability groups. So we're trying to be very broad in our language around disabilities so that nobody's left out.
So would you consider ever coming back just to talk about the legislative process?
Oh, yeah, sure. Just a bail. It's an only bail. Capitol Hill. Yeah, it's a whole song about it, actually.
Yeah,
it's
great.
I can go through it.
It's
fun,
actually. I don't know what. Is there a bill number for that bill?
It is 1566.
House bill 1566. Yeah. So. What? Go ahead, buddy. What is your to do to help you pass the bill? What can we do to help you pass the bill?
What can we do to help you pass the bill?
Well, let your legislators know about it. And it was a really sad and difficult life. My baby daughter is crying in the room, so I need to go grab her real quick.
Oh, no worries. Don't worry. That's perfectly all right at any time. Can't wait to come back and hear a Wrestling Bruce story. I've heard pieces of it, but never. Oh, that's a little angel. I mean, if you're on the, we can see her, but if you're on the video, of course, you cannot. But,
anyway, what I was saying was, I didn't get to do like this, what Little Hilda be doing, but I didn't get to have a family. I would live by myself, with a bunch of the kids I didn't know and who didn't want nothing to do with me. And I lived in we had a dormitory with, 40 beds. We were just crammed in there. Everything was the same. Every day was the same. And, we had no private property. No, not even the clothes we wore. My adopted parents, when they came to adopt me, they had to switch me out of the orphanage clothes and into clothes that they brought with them. So I didn't even leave the orphanage with the clothes. So no holidays or birthdays, nothing like
when?
That.
You left when?
I was five and a half. 1994. I got out in 1994. It was a big adjustment. I was scared when I first came. I was excited. When they said that I was going to leave with these random people, I was just like, okay, bye. I had no problem with it. But once I got out of there, it was overwhelming.
How did you get to the United States?
So my adopted parents, they came and they got me out of the orphanage, and they had to stay last year for a little bit to get all the paperwork and bureaucracy stuff done. To legally take me out of the country. And so while we were in last year, we just stayed at the hotel in Riga. My parents would take me out to different parts of last year and show me my country for the first time, because I never left the orphanage grounds before then.
Wow.
I was at the orphanage the whole time, and I've never been outside of the orphanage. And so being somewhere completely outside of it, it was I never got to see the Statue of Liberty that my country had, the Freedom Statue. I never got to see. I saw my country for the first time right after being adopted, and I was five and a half, and I didn't know what these big statues that they're getting pictures of me with. I didn't know what they were for. And they would take me to these old, ancient churches. And I didn't know what that was for, I had no concept of what these things were and what this was for my country.
Right.
And that I was, this was my country. I had no concept of family, even. I had no concept of, you have family and... I didn't even know what a birthday was. I didn't know my own birthday and...
So how do you celebrate yours? Did you just pick a date and that's it, or?
Well, my adoptive parents, the orphanage knew my birthday, because we never had a party. When we came to the United States, I had my first birthday when I was...
Ooh.
You know, cranky being. I can't be the whole time when I'm
Why not? Why not, right?
Oh, anyway.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm going to get...
Yes.
and so
said,
going, like, no, I got another one here for you. Eat, you know, like, food was, food's a really big thing for me. Like, I love to eat, but I like to eat with people. I don't like to eat by myself, and I'm very, like, I'm particular sometimes about what I eat. I'm weird about eating sometimes.
Like in what way?
Sometimes I don't eat. Like sometimes if I have a lot of adrenaline for a long day.
Yeah.
I won't eat. I'm just too hyper, and so I won't eat.
Gotcha. I don't know, on the radio and everybody can come home and hear me, and this will be on tape forever. But if you ever hear this tape, I'm just a phone call away.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that. Emily and me are just a phone call away if you ever need anything.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. That's my story. I mean,
That's wow.
I came from that, and now I am happily married. We're coming up to our 8th wedding anniversary in January. Ian and I have been together for 8 years, and we've known each other for almost 20 years.
Wow.
And you have two little ones?
And two little ones. You have two little girls. One little Hildegard, and one...
That makes you drop the mic. On the radio show, you're not supposed to be silent, but sometimes it's like,
Shut him down. What haunts me, Michael? What really haunts me is I think about if I had not been adopted. If I had stayed, because they were asking about to transfer me to an institution that I would not have been adopted out of. They said you couldn't get adopted out of. They were about to send me to, and not a non-adopt.
When did you get diagnosed with your disability? Were you
in the institution I was diagnosed.
In the institution, so in Russia.
It was Russia because it was the Soviet Union and they occupied last year, yeah.
Okay.
They had last year under their control, but last year technically they their own country.
So how old were you when you come to the United States for the first time?
I was 5 and a half. Wow. So almost 6, yeah. I was 5 and a half.
Wow. And where that was?
It was in Riga, it was in the capital last year.
Wow.
And I know you told me earlier. I don't know that somebody you would want to go back over.
I would love to go back to the Freedom Memorial and put flowers under it.
Yeah. Very cool.
I would love to do that, yes.
And this is too personal, you don't have to tell me. Are you an American citizen?
I am. It took a long while for my adoptive parents to do that, but they were very smart, and yes, I'm an American citizen. My parents got me through immigration court right as I got back to the U.S. They started that process and I had to go through immigration court and all of that. I just didn't have to take the test.
When did you become an American?
In you're telling me that I'm the one being drunk right now. This whole conversation doesn't make any sense.
We've gone a little bit too far, wasn't we?
Oh shoot, we went too far? Crap. Sorry.
No, I didn't mean to go too far. Not you. And then the dinner went too far. We really need a third party at this point.
We need a third party so bad. Yeah. Oh man, that'd be so nice.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, I have no political home. Like, no party. Like, I just think that the libertarians I like, but then the things that the libertarians say that I really don't like. So I'm just like, there's no party. I got no party. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. I don't know why.
Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you about this, and I wanted to ask you this for a long, long time, what we consider behavior sometimes seems rather interesting to me, because if we're a grown adult, I have to behave a certain way because of the culture that we live in. I get that. I've been raised that way all my life.
Yeah.
So at some level, you know, I'm not a behavior because I don't like the, because I don't act the way you want me to behave, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, what about our own autonomy about things like that? And what you might behave when they would quote, unquote, call it a bad behavior, because if I don't, some other bad thing will happen to me. There might be a reason we're doing that without realizing what the reason is. That's what I'm saying.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Like, a lot of times people, you know, oh, they're just having behaviors. It's like, no, they're probably traumatized. I hear all the time from people complaining about the people they serve, especially with this pandemic stuff. I've been hearing this a lot about people's behaviors becoming more escalated, people are becoming more aggressive. I wonder why. You're taking away all the joys of life. You gotta take away all your joys in life. So we're traumatized by that. That's re-traumatizing them, because many people, you know, they, especially the older folks, you know, they fought decades for those rights to go to the movie theaters when they want to go to the movie theaters, to go to have a drink at a bar, to hang out with friends at a convention or at any, like, events, sporting events or a concert or, you know, a Special Olympics event or any type of community event. And all of a sudden, those rights that we fought for, gone in an instant.
I have one more legislative question that I forgot to ask you. If you would know this better than me, because I haven't done it for a while. Is this year the long session or the short?
It's a short one.
Sean said it's a short one.
I'll do a
short
dance
later on that.
So that's what that means, 60 days?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's real quick.
It is a double
mm-hmm. It'll start in January. I do know that.
Yeah, I can go. I can work out the day. By the way, I did work out. How many people were in the institution?
And?
Out of 2020, it was down to 584.
584?
So, if they did add more, we have to figure out why.
No, I'll see if I'm wrong. Maybe it did change. But 584, there's four institutions. You're better at math than I am. How much is that? Alexa, 584 divided by 4.
584 divided by 4 is 146.
According to my girlfriend Alexa, 146 total at four institutions. It'd be less expensive to close it down.
Yeah,
it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know. And the other thing that's interesting is because of the strat and the landing, we don't have enough people to help people do what they're supposed to be doing in the first place. Which is,
But it was bad before. And now it's, like, just worse. Like, you just made something that was a bad situation into a worse situation.
Yeah, cool.
I'm so frustrated by that.
I'm glad you looked it up, Sean. I'm glad we get it down less than 1,000. Maybe it'll have some sense to the things you close, but I know.
Yeah, we need closer. Stop wasting money on that.
Amen.
I remember that a lot. married, but I didn't know that there would be a month ago. And, and now the end of the show tonight.
Okay.
Everyone, we will see you back in next month. And Michael. Michael Walker will be back next month. So thank you all this for being with us.
No problem.
And yeah, I'll be next time if you come back. Michael will also be there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the family is due today, so you want to leave
them. All right.
So, all right, everyone, we will see you next time on No More BS with Mark and Don.
Okay.
Take care, bye.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.